Praise the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy, I believe, is very clearly the last of Paul's epistles, chronologically speaking. He clearly, in this letter that he writes to Timothy, he does not expect to be saved from death, from his own passing, and he registers a lot of excitement about getting ready to go, and that he's finished his race and he's done what he's supposed to do. And so we read this with a special sense of him putting things to rest and saying we're going to finish out right. And in our generation, the closer we get to the way things are going down and the way things have been prophesied and brought out, I think it has a special relevance to us where he says, hey, let's finish this thing right. Amen. Let's do a good job of what we got to do. Let's finish our course. Let's run the race that's set before us, right? So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have a setup of the prophecy of what's happening. And we get down a ways into it, into this prophecy that he's talking about, the evil things that are going to happen. And he makes a statement that just resonates with me. Look at verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I want to consider just that concept, worse and worse. Just worse. It's sort of like it sort of means progressively worse, consistently worse. It's not like, you know, you'll have ups and downs. It's just going to be a gradual, consistent, decaying decline. Things are going down worse and worse. Just worse and worse. And so it comes to mind that this is a matter, first of all, it's a matter of prophecy. And God does give us some prophecies about how the world's going to end. It's also a matter of philosophy. It's a matter of the way you think and the way you think about the world and the way the world thinks about itself. There's that to be considered. It's also a matter of policy. This is no accident. God's setting things up. He's got his own reasons for doing what he's doing. And finally, and what is most important to us, and that is it's a matter of priority. You got to get your priorities right when it comes to this, what he's telling you about. So let's talk about it in order. First of all, it's a matter of prophecy. Did you know that the Bible somehow knows the future? Now, you know, I know there are some people that say, oh, why the Bible? You know, I can't believe anybody believes that old book. I hear it constantly. They talk about how we've gotten past that. That's an old-fashioned way of thinking and that sort of thing. Except that old-fashioned way of thinking told us all about this stuff long time ago. Amen. And somebody says, oh, but those prophecies, they're all vague. Vague? Have you read the four empires that Daniel prophesied? Boy, that's not vague. That's very, very careful. And you know, it's come to pass right down the line. Oh, and it's still completely up to date. Yeah, it is. If you haven't studied it out, that's something to study, man. You need to get on our Sunday school, get on prophecy and start showing you what the Bible says. Did you know that the date of the death of the Messiah was prophesied? It actually goes to the trouble to say 70 weeks are determined, 69 weeks are going to happen when the Messiah is going to die, and when it's going to start is when the declaration comes out. The declaration is going to come out that you have to rebuild the temple. When that happens, count your 69 weeks. You count them, 69 weeks of years. That's 483 years. 483 years. You count them out there. Go ahead and do the math, and you figure it out. It's right when Jesus died. And you wonder why you get into the New Testament over there, and they're all expecting the Messiah. Yeah. They're all expecting it. It's amazing. It's amazing. Now, I know that you know, somebody will have some complaint about it. I get it. But the Bible is not, what do you call it, shy about telling you how this world is going to end.
That's right.
Over and over and over and over again, it tells you how the world is going to end. Now, how do they speak with such confidence? How does an apostle talk with such confidence about how the world is going to end? Do you have any confidence about how, say, America is going to end? Do you have any confidence about the, say, the election in 2020? You have any you know what's going to happen? You would be able to write out a prediction what's going to happen in 2 years? No, you don't. How about who's going to win the football games today? I'll bet you if we all calculated who was going to win, it would be no better than flipping a coin. We just have no clue. We just do not know the future. But somehow he could write up here and say what's going to happen. Thousands of years later, he says, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He can write that out as a prophecy, and it's absolutely true. It's true. Oh, it's amazing to me. The Bible is truly an amazing book. Talks about iniquity. That's what Jesus says. Beginning of sorrows, all that stuff. He says, and iniquity is going to abound. Oh, man, iniquity is going to abound. Have you ever noticed that there's a genre of movies? A genre of movies about the end of the world, you know, apocalyptic movies. About how, you know, and this has been going on for, you know, a long time. It's been going on for a long time, at least 50 years. You know, that's about how old I am, right? Anyway, that long it's been going on where they come out with this, well, a movie about, you know, the end of the world and how humanity is going to destroy itself and whatever. And yet they always think about it in the terms of war, destruction, and, a nuclear holocaust or something of that nature. But that's not what it says here. What it says here is deceit is going to get worse. And they're just going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you notice how so many people are all worried about how, you know, we're going to go into another Great Depression or World War III or whatever. Well, how come nobody's worried about what the Bible prophesied? Deceit is going to get worse and worse. People are going to be deceived all over the world. And everybody's going to be following after delusions and going after nonsense. Yeah, that's the problem with the world, is deceit. And it's getting worse and worse. It's a matter of prophecy. The world is not going to improve when it comes to sound doctrine. The world is not going to improve when it comes to living right and doing right and teaching right and telling the truth. It's not like the truth is going to always win out. It says they're going to get worse and worse in deceit and ignorance and false doctrines, evil things. It's going to get worse. Now, this is prophesied many, many times, and we can go into it. In fact, you get very careful, and you will know. In fact, I've taught some Sunday school lessons on it, the apostasies that are actually mentioned in the Bible, and they get very specific about what kind of apostasy. And there's two major apostasies prophesied in the Bible, and they can be distinguished by the words that are used. And when you get down to that point where you see the prophecies, the prophecy that's going to end it all, the Bible tells you what kind of deceit we're talking about. It says they're going to deny creation. They're going to deny the flood. It talks about the kinds of doctrines that they're going to be taught, that they're going to be teaching, and what people are going to be hoping for, and what they're going to be claiming, what they're going to be saying. They're going to be saying peace and safety and such things like that. All these things are prophesied. So don't overlook the fact that this is a matter of prophecy. God has not been negligent in letting you know what's happening. But you might not really know what's happening. And whose fault is that? Come on. Come on. Whose fault is it? If you don't know what God said about this world, it's your fault. It's written in English. You say, well, I don't understand that old English. Well, they got Bibles that are so new, you could read it to a third grader and they would understand it. And they're not saying anything major different. They're saying the same thing. So what is your big excuse? You say, well, I can't understand it. I'll bet you could understand. I bet you take the old King James English and understand it. Your problem is you don't read it. Your problem is you don't go after it. Your problem is you don't have any focus on it or any interest in it. That's the problem. Amen. It is a matter of prophecy, and it's been written for thousands of years, and you have no excuse if you don't know what's going down. It's written there. It's also a matter of philosophy. We're talking about a mindset, the way people think. Now, I want you to know there is a mindset that the world is evolving, progressing. Yeah, and I'm not talking about just this generation. It's been going on a long time, this mindset that the world is getting better, that the world is improving. For example, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. A lot of our founding fathers were of this mindset that things are getting better and that humanity is evolving. I don't know if they use that word, but it's getting better. And the more things happen, the more that it's going to... In fact, many of our Christian forebears... I'm talking about the preachers back in the times of the American Revolution. They thought of America as the coming of God's kingdom. Many of them did. Even before that, when they were going through all the fight in England, they had all the different groups that were dissenting and say, and even the mainstream groups were believing this, that the world is getting better. And so these fifth monarchists and levelers and brownists and all of these separatist groups all were trying to make everything work out so that Christ's kingdom would be established on the earth and that it was going to happen in England. And then when it didn't happen in England, they thought, well, maybe it's going to happen in America. If you read their writings, you'll see they were optimistic about how things were working out in humanity. Even today, I mean, listen, if you read up people like Karl Marx and all that, they consider it a matter of evolution, how things are just going to be better and better, and humanity is going to overcome this and overcome that until finally we all come to a basic utopia. Now, we've already said it's a matter of prophecy. God said, that ain't not what's going to happen. That ain't going to happen like that. But it's also a matter of philosophy. Because if you have the philosophy that human nature is basically good, that it's just the right's going to win in the end, right? And the truth is going to win out. And good people are going to be on top of things. But that's not what it says here. And it's a matter of understanding what kind of philosophy you are of. What is the spirit you are of? And you know what we know? Human nature ain't no good.
Amen.
If there were any possibility of something good, humans would mess it up.
Yep.
That's why we constantly warn you. If you go to some, you say, well, I want to go to a better church. All right, go to a better church. You find a better church, and then you'll ruin it.
Yeah.
You mess it up. You take all your problems with you. That's just the way things happen. We have problems on the inside, and all of the nations of the earth have problems on the inside. I'm amazed at the blessings that God has given even to our country. But who in here thinks that America's getting better and better? I'm sorry, America's not getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse. Things are going downhill. And you know, we are castigated for even mentioning that. It's like we don't have any hope. We don't have any optimism. We're downers. We're downers. We're depressed. We're dark thinking. But no, that's not it at all. It's a mindset. It's an understanding of human nature where you say humans, when they get involved, they're going to mess things up. And whenever humans start, and especially if they get high-minded ideals like humanists. Have you ever read the Humanist Manifesto? Written back in 1915 or 1914, right before the World War. And they were talking about how everything's going to get better. and all the nations are going to do this, and this is going to be better in humanity and civilization and blah, blah, blah. Then they had the worst war that ever happened. So then they had to write a different one. So they adjusted it and wrote the second humanist manifesto back in the 30s. I might be getting my dates wrong, but whatever comes after that was the Second World War. So they had to write a different one. So now they got one they wrote back in the 70s. And boy, does that not make any sense anymore. And you know what their problem is? Their philosophy. They think humanity is something really top-notch. They think, you know, humanity is, you know, if we just didn't have all of this negative, you know, religious stuff and all that. Have you ever listened to atheists and how they talk about religion? Yeah, they'll tell you all, the problem is religion. The problem is all this old-fashioned Bible thumping, talking about hell and sin and all that stuff. And if we were just more open-minded, we'd be a lot more, you know, we'd go more toward our progressive nature, our progressive instincts. All these crazy atheists. I had a conversation with an atheist one time, and he was talking about how, how religion spoils everything. And then you have to ask him, well, what about Stalin? What about Lenin? What about Pol Pot? Have you already forgotten about him? Have you already forgotten about Cambodia? The killing fields? Have you already forgotten about these? These people weren't religious. Possibly hundreds of millions of people killed intentionally in the name of atheism. Human nature is not whole. It's diseased. Human nature's got serious problems. And the philosophy that people have, that things are progressing, that things are getting better, it's so very foolish. You can define leftists and right-wingers and left-wingers. You can define liberals and conservatives. Liberals have an optimistic, idealistic view of humanity or the whole globe. And conservatives have an ideal, optimistic view about America. That's how you divide them. And I've got news for you. You're both wrong. I know that because the Bible says so. Things are going to get worse.
Amen.
People's minds are going to get worse. People are going to go downhill. Education's going to get worse. It's because it's talking about people being deceived. And even the Bible says God's going to send them strong delusion because they love not the truth. And because they don't love the truth, they get strong delusion. And people are deluded. And you know something about people who are deluded? They don't know they're deluded. People who aren't in their right mind don't know that they're not in their right mind. They think they're thinking straight and that everybody else is off their rocker. And this is what's happening in our world. The world has got this concept that if we just did certain things right, if we could just stop the oceans from rising and do certain things with this way or that way or change something on our philosophy or what have you, we'd get the world right and then we're all going to be okay. And that's not true.
Right.
It's just not true. The world has got a terminal disease. It's called sin.
Right.
And deception makes people not realize they are diseased. They are fooled. They are deceived. It's a philosophy issue. All right. It's also a matter of policy. I don't mean this to offend you, but and some people might take offense at this, but God is not reacting to things out of His control. God's got it all figured out. In fact, not only has God got it all figured, knows it from beginning to the end, and has it all figured out, and has calculated the best response in every way, not only is that true, but God has things planned.
Amen.
And that He's doing things according to His will, which means it is His will that you go through it. Now look, I really do believe in the sovereignty of God and that He can do whatever He wants. I believe that He could save every single person. The reason why I say that He can is because I saw what He did with me. And wow, I was not easy to convince. I know he can convince me. I also, when I, back in the 70s, I saw a movie called Oh God.
Yeah.
It had George Burns as God, and it had John Denver as Moses, basically. And God gets in the taxi of Moses, of John Denver, and says, I'm God. And he says, no, you're not God. He says, well, what do you want me to do to prove it? He says, make it rain. He says, okay. So he makes it rain inside the taxi. And so when he finally opens the door and he gets out and the water's pouring out, it's pouring down rain inside the taxi, he was convinced. You think God can't convince you? You think God can't convince Hitler? You think God can't convince all those people that he is God and that he is who he is? Oh, he can convince them. There's not even a difficulty for it. In fact, one of these days he's going to convince them. That doesn't mean they're going to love him or they're going to surrender to him. In fact, they're going to call on the rocks to fall on him because they don't want to submit to him. It's amazing how people will not repent, no matter what. But God's doing this the way he's doing it, not convincing everybody, not overpowering them, not cowering them into submission. He's giving a free-for-all for the fight of truth. It is a matter of policy. God's doing this on purpose because he wants you to go through it. He wants you to make some decisions.
Amen.
He wants you to stand up for some stuff. And he wants you to do it from a sincere heart of faith. And you can't do that if he just overpowers everybody. It'd be easy for God to overpower everybody. Now, this might make you question his love, and I understand there's all kinds of issues. I'll write down a question on one of those blue slips and give it to Dad, and he can explain it all. I know that there are issues. I know that there are difficulties. I'm not trying to exacerbate that in your mind. I just want you to know this is no accident, and what is happening is not going to, it's not because we can't change it or because he can't change it. Oh, no, that's not it. He wants you to go through it. He wants you to have the struggle of your life over truth and deception. And he wants you to get out there and explain things to people and see how deceived they are. He wants people to go through it. The Bible says he gives people space to repent.
Amen.
Space. And I'm glad he gave us space. That's a wonderful blessing. He gave us space. All right, it's a free-for-all over truth. This is God's... Listen, not only could God convince people, but God could stop it.
That's right.
He could shut down all the liars. Have you ever asked God why he doesn't do that? Why did God allow this? Why did God allow that? I did that. I've even done that recently. I remember recently, Dad was headed home on a New Year's deal, maybe it was a year ago, whatever, and he accidentally ran into somebody, and he went through a lot of difficulty, and I wasn't there, and he didn't call me, and so he went through all this difficulty, and when he got done and he let me know and everything, I was irritated at God. Why did you let that happen to my dad? Now, do I have a right to be irritated at God? Absolutely not. God can do anything he wants.
Amen.
I'm just a lowly nobody, and I have no right to criticize God in any way. But it bothered me that God would allow something like that to happen to an old man, and I couldn't help him. He did okay. He survived. But it was a hard thing, and it was hard for me to hear. I've also thought about my mom and what she had to go through before she died. That was some tough stuff. And I wonder, why, God, would you allow that? Because God wants you to go through it. God's got his reasons.
That's right, man.
Amen.
This is a policy thing. You know, God could stop all the liars.
Yeah,
he could. Have you ever not wanted that? Have you ever prayed for that? God, shame them. Shut the mouths of those liars. Just shame them. Because there's a lot of liars in the world. Just turn on the news.
Yeah, right.
A lot of liars. You know, you get so sick and tired of the lies. Even when it's not an outright lie, it's a lie in some way or another. It's a giving a false impression. It's all a bunch of junk. It's not worth listening to because it's lies. And God could stop it. But He doesn't. In fact, it looks like He gives advantages to the liars. And people who are trying to tell the truth, they are under all kinds of suspicions and accusations, and it's just not fair. It's not fair. And here we're going to go around saying, oh, it's not fair, God, it's not fair. Yeah? This is a matter of policy. God made this decision a long time ago. You're going to have to go through some stuff. Because the world is not going to get better. It's not going to get easier. Have you noticed how a lot of Christians want things to get easier? As we get older, we want things to be easier, right? Don't you want convenience?
Yeah.
I do. I want convenience, and I want enough to eat. I don't want to do all that hard stuff like fasting and praying. No, we want things easier. Have you noticed how churches have gotten easier? It's just a lot easier. Everything's easier. We can just make things easier on everybody. And it makes sense, man. I mean, good grief. You know, when you're young, you got some energy, and you've got some desire and some zeal and what have you. But you know, when you're old, you think, oh, man, I don't want to do all that stuff anymore. It's just too much. It's too hard. We want things easier. And you know what God says? It's going to get worse. Not going to get easier. And I know here in America we've got it pretty easy. But I think of myself as part of the global church. And I get the voice of the martyrs. I don't know if you guys got the last issue, but this last issue on China. And folks, it's getting rough on people in China. And these leaders of China, you know, they're all acting like, you know, they're our allies and such. They're not. And it's amazing how our leaders in the United States, our leaders, don't care if they are persecuting Christians in China.
Right.
They don't care. They just let it happen. So long as we get our TVs for a couple $100 made in China. As long as we get our, you know, what we need. And I wonder, God, why are you doing this? Why don't you stand up? Why don't you fight? Why don't you put them down? And He says, no, this is my policy. I've set this thing up from the beginning. This is how it's gonna play out. And you're going to be a part of it. And you're going to go through it. Things aren't going to get better. Oh, man, you know, people don't like preachers that preach like this. They don't like people. They don't want to hear this. I guarantee this kind of a message ain't going to make us popular. I'm just telling you the way it is. This is the policy God has. It's going to get harder. It's going to get difficult. You know, when Jesus gets over there to Matthew chapter 24, they say, tell us about the signs of your coming and what have you. And He says, okay, it's going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be wars, it's going to be earthquakes, it's going to be famine and pestilence, whatever. And these are the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get worse after that. And then it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. So where do you stand in this? Where's your heart in this? You don't want to hear about worse and worse, right? Well, I guarantee you, you can find a church that won't talk about worse and worse.
That's right.
I just want to tell you the truth here. Because this is not just a matter of prophecy, and it's not just a matter of philosophy, and it's not just a matter of God's policy. It's a matter of priority. What is the solution? What is the antidote to deception? Truth. I think every one of you got that right. That's all. It's the obvious antidote to deception. It's truth. So where does truth fit in to your priorities?
Yes. Amen.
Put them on there. Yeah. Say like convenience.
Yeah. Amen.
Happiness, popularity, friendship, a good job. Where's truth? Truth. Does truth not have any position in your level of priority?
Amen.
What about truth? What about standing up for truth? This is what God said. No, I'm telling you, we got a problem here. that our priority should be saving men from deception? There's only one way to do that. And that's to tell the truth.
Amen.
And that means it's going to cost.
Yeah.
You know what people think? They think that the problem with the world is hunger or disease or oppression. Is that the problem with the world? Because the Bible says the problem is deception. Where does this deception come from? Well, it comes from religion, and it comes from philosophy, and it comes from the internet, and it comes from the television.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. What is this deception about? Well, it's about creation.
That's right.
It's about sin. There's deception about sin. Did you ever notice that? They're calling evil good and they're calling good evil right now. It's deception all over the world, not just in America. We're in one world now, man. All over the world, they're calling sin good. They're saying this is good, this is normal. And people who stand up for what God said, well, they're evil. They're full of hate. They're actually accused of hate crimes. You know, now they have what's called non-discrimination ordinances. And these are only intended to persecute Christians who tell the truth. Non-discrimination ordinances. They're passing them in all of our cities. Right here in San Antonio as well. So where's your priority? What does this mean to you? Let me ask you something. If things are getting worse and worse, what do? Less and less? Is that your mindset? Things are getting worse and worse, so we need to do less and less. We need to invest less, pray less, struggle less, preach less. No, you know better than that. If things are getting worse and worse, what do? You put out a little more effort.
Amen.
You try a little harder, don't you? I mean, if you were in some job or something and things were getting worse and worse, doesn't that mean you got to spend a little more time at the office? It seems to me. But you know what I noticed? There's like a pervasive attitude among Christians that they want to do less and less. Day after day, week after week, year after year, less and less. We want to accommodate. We want to slow it down a little bit. Let's not get too zealous. Let's not go overboard. Why? It's just the nature of things. It's the nature of our evil human nature. But we know better. We already know that since this is the priority, God says, I'm not changing this. This is what you're going to go through. And look at what they're going through in China. Look at what they're going through in India. Hey, people are dying in India. People are dying in Burma. Christians, people like you and me believe the same kind of doctrines. They're our brothers and sisters. They're dying. Why? For the same things that you believe. And yeah, I know, it's not touching us, whatever. But the deceit is here too. It's all over the place. This war that we have, that God's policy set up, He said, this is the way it's going to be. This is how it's going to happen. And this is what I'm expecting you to be prepared for. I didn't write this.
Amen.
I didn't make this up. This is written in the Bible, and it's not just here. I could have used a dozen other verses. Worse and worse doesn't require less and less on our part.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm old. Yeah, me too. I am. I don't know that that's a good excuse to do less and less. Not if it's my kids that are at stake, or my grandkids.
Right.
Not if it's my church that's at stake.
That's right.
Not if I've got stuff to lose.
Sure.
No, no, I don't want to do less. I want to do more. Where's the attitude of, I want to do more? What can I do, God? What can I do? Where's your priority? If you know this is God's policy, if you know it's His philosophy, you say, you know how it's happening, you know what's going on, you know that people are being deceived right now, you know it. And yet there's no decision to say, I'm going to do more. I'm going to step up and do my part. I'm going to care about truth. Amen. And I'm going to fight for truth.
Amen.
And I'm going to stand up and tell the truth.
Amen.
And if you're not willing to do that, listen, you've just disagreed with God.
Right. Yeah.
Because if this is His policy, then that ought to be your priority.
Amen.
People are being deceived right now. Who? Your neighbors. Your coworkers. They're being deceived right now. They're being told all kinds of stuff. They're being told that you're not born male or female.
Yeah.
That's what they're being told. And, you know, I know it's hard to believe, but people believe that. People actually believe that you're not born male or female. In fact, they have now a lot of places where the birth certificates have a third option of not assigned or non-binary. Hey, these people are idiots.
Yeah, they are.
But they don't know they're idiots. Somebody's got to tell them. All right. It seems to me like if that's our priority, then it ought to make a difference on our focus.
Amen.
It's amazing what interests me. I am amazed at what I'm interested in. I got this little piece of plastic. Sort of looks like a boomerang that got straightened out. And you turn it one way on the desk, and it just turns and turns and turns. It's very interesting. So I take it and I turn it the other way and it goes and turns back the other way. It will only turn one direction. Now I don't know why. I've looked at it, turns upside down. But you can turn it one way and it'll just turn and turn and turn. But if you turn it the other way, it'll stop and start turning back the other way. You don't believe me. I can see it. I can spend hours looking at that. And it don't make any eternal difference at all. What are you interested in? What do you focus on? We focus on some of the dumbest stuff. Look, I know there's some things you just have to do. I mean, you got to go to work, you got to do your job, you got to mop, and you got to sweep, and you got to cook, and you got to bathe, and you got to do all kinds of stuff you got to do that have no eternal consequences. Hey, but folks, there's an awful lot of stuff we do that have no eternal consequences and have no earthly consequences either. Priority, folks, what I'm talking about is people are being deceived at this moment, right here. People that you know are being deceived, and you have the antidote. You got the solution. They don't know you have the solution. They think you're crazy. Or just stupid. What about time? Your focus, your interest? Well, what about your time? How much time do you throw away?
Amen.
I know. You can pick on other people for the stuff that they do. But just start picking on yourself about the stuff you do. Stop and think about the time. The Bible says something like redeeming the time, right? Redeeming the time. Like there's something you can get for your time. That the time has some kind of internal value. Inherent value. The time that God gave you, that has some value. What do you do with it? Do you know how much time people waste watching television?
Yeah.
No, I'm not picking on you old folks that can't get out and mow your grass. I understand that. And I'm glad you got a television to entertain you. That's nice. Old folks home, you know, I don't begrudge a television for something. But listen, a whole lot of us still have bones that work. And so if we waste our time just watching television, well, you know what that tells me? Priorities are wrong. Things are getting worse and worse. So what do? Less and less. Watch more and more television. And don't get me started on video games. Don't get me started on nonsense. Stuff that people do just to waste time. Doodling. I don't know. Maybe that's the thing anymore. I don't know. What about your decisions that you make? You make decisions all the time. What do you base them on? Amen. What kind of decisions are you making? What are the decisions that you're making? Do you base them on your feelings? Yeah, you do. Come on. Let's be honest. We base most of our decisions on our feelings. But you've got some knowledge, and God gave you this knowledge. It's a matter of prophecy. It's a matter of philosophy. It's a matter of God's policy. And so He says, make it your priority. It's time now to consider what you do, how you're making your decisions. What is the how is it that you make your decision about what job or what time off or what vacation or what you're going to do all the things that you do, all the decisions that you make. How are you making these decisions if they're not taking into consideration God's priorities?
Amen.
People are being deceived. How about investment? What did Jesus say about the treasure in the heart? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
Where your heart is, there will your treasure be also too. Yeah? They're like connected, right? And yet, what is our investment? Where do we really focus our investments in? I'm telling you, there's an awful lot of stuff that when we get to heaven and we look back and God said, you know, I did point out that things are getting worse and worse. And you knew it. And at the end of the race, look what you did. And you had more to offer than all the generations preceding you and all the other people on earth. I get so convicted when I read about these Chinese people that get saved and they start serving God and they lose their job. Some of them are imprisoned. Or these North Koreans, they get saved and they're put in concentration camps. And they are beaten, and so many of them die in those concentration camps. And I just get so convicted that, you know, I've got more than all of those folks combined to offer. And I can't find a good thing to do with it.
Amen.
What about sacrifice? Did you know that sacrifice is a big part of the Bible? Personal loss, where you give something up. I know this is not popular. I understand it. It's not popular. But giving something up is part of the Christian life.
Amen.
Sacrificing for the truth is part of the Christian life.
Amen.
What do you give up? What are you willing to say, I love this, but I'm going to give it to God? You really ought to consider that. Because this is your only chance to do it. This is your only opportunity to do it. Right now, you've got, I don't know, precious few years left. Maybe a few days left. Who knows? You don't know how much time you got left.
That's right.
I wasn't looking at you, Jim. Hey. Okay, so we're old. Our church has gotten old. It's gotten over the hill. I'm looking at a lot of gray hair, folks. A lot of gray hair. So what? So what? The young people, they say they can't get them interested in God's things. Well, we're interested. Too bad for the young people. Bless their hearts. I ain't done. Look, I'm still moving around. I'm still walking around. I still got my razor sharp mind. I'm telling you, there ain't one of these idiots that can beat me in a debate. I've had my debates with them. I enjoy it. I love it. But they don't know that they've got beat. I can't convince them that they got beat. That's a problem. It really is. Just trust me. I beat them, okay? I won that argument. I'm telling you. Hey, I ain't done yet. But you know what it's going to take? Do you know what fighting this fight is going to take? It's going to take sacrifice.
That's right.
Exactly what we don't want to do. It's going to take time. It's going to take focus. Focus. It's going to take effort. That's what it's going to take. Because this is God's priority. He says, look at all that other stuff. What is it that you want to do? And look, I'm not criticizing you. If you got the vacation planned, okay, I get it. I understand. I'm not picking on you. I do all that stuff too. I'm saying we got to wake up and realize God has some priorities. And what He's telling us is you need to start focusing on what really matters. People are being deceived.
Yeah.
And they are deceived.
Yes.
And they are making fools of themselves. And they're throwing away the most precious thing, their own souls. And they're offering their children up to the god Moloch to be burned in the fire. That's what they're doing right now. You've got people right now teaching their kids that it's okay. You don't have to be a boy. You can be a girl if you want to. I feel sorry for those kids. Kids need a parent that'll say, don't be stupid. Wake up. Start stepping up for God. Stand up for God. Say that God has a right to make you whatever He wants you to be. Why don't you just give in to God and say, God, whatever you want. And let me tell you something. If you're not willing to sacrifice, why are you calling yourself a Christian?
Amen.
You know what Jesus said? Let him take up his cross and follow me.
Right.
Deny himself daily. And yet we have this concept of our Christianity being one of just glory and blessing and prosperity. And yet God says, no, I got some priorities. Things are going to get worse. Hey, you were hoping things are going to get better, weren't you? You're such an optimist. But things are going to get worse. And maybe not for you. Maybe things are going to be okay for you. Because you've got the hard stuff taken care of. But it's going to get worse for all those people on your block. And it's going to get worse for all those people at the school down the street. It's going to get worse for your country. It's going to get worse for your government. It's going to get worse for the people in Pakistan. And it's going to get worse for the people in Iran and in Africa. And it's going to get worse for all of those other folks. And I'm not saying this because I'm some kind of a predictor. I ain't no Joan Dixon or Jean Dixon or whatever she was. I ain't no Nostradamus. I just read the Bible.
Amen.
I see what it says, and I'm not misunderstanding it, and neither are you. We know what it says. People are being deceived right now, and what it takes from us is a little bit of change of priority. Saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. I am not going to waste the last years that I've got. I'm not going to sit around and just let people fall over the cliff.
Amen. Yes.
We got something to do here. We got something to do here. Listen, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You haven't even started the fight until you get saved. You say, yeah, I don't know what that means. Then you need to talk to me.
Amen.
You need to come and talk to me and I'll tell you what it means. I'll show you in the Bible because that's what it's about. But I really didn't preach at the lost people. I want to talk to you Christians. Listen, you got something you got to do. You got to say, you know, I got to get out of my lethargy. I got to get out of this way I'm thinking, this way I'm walking. I'm stuck in a rut. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. You've got to make some kind of decisions. You've got to stir yourself. You've got to do something for eternity.
Amen.
For eternity. And that means making some sacrifices. And yeah, sacrifices not for your own good. Most of you are willing to go on a diet if you want to lose weight. But that's for you. What about for God? What about for truth?
Amen.
What about for your neighbors? If you're not willing to sacrifice, then you're nothing like Christ. Because that's what He did. He gave it all up. He sacrificed it all. He was willing to go all the way to the cross. It's amazing what Christ was willing to do for you.
Amen.
And yet, what are we willing to do for the truth's sake? Let's stand and let's sing number 375. If you want to pray and get something right with God, go ahead and do that. And sing this from your heart. Think about the Lord. Number 375.